Hey, everybody. Today, the Charlie Kirk Show, we try to make sense of Republicans voting for red flag laws. What are red flag laws? Believe it or not, you might be looped in to a red flag law. Is it a good time to go be doing deals with Democrats? Is that what you want out of our leaders? I certainly don't. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA Today at tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Start. Get involved with our Student Action Summit at tpusa.com/SAS. That is tpusa.com/SAS. Come to our Student Action Summit with the biggest speakers in the movement. Check it out, tpusa.com/SAS. And sponsored by Turning Point Action, Ron DeSantis and President Trump will be there with Turning Point Action, all there in Tampa, Florida. Again, I love hearing from you. freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to thank all of you. We have the best listeners on the planet. I truly believe that. I learned so much from you. I'm encouraged by you. I love your prayers, your thoughts, and your constructive feedback when they don't contain swear words or wishes for me to die. If you'd like to support the Charlie Kirk Show, go to charliekirk.com/support. We deeply appreciate you guys getting behind our program. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. What a difference a day makes. Yesterday, we covered a lot of different topics, and late last night, Senate Republicans tried to pull a fast one and decided to advance a gun control piece of legislation. Remarkably, after John Cornyn was booed at the Texas Republican convention by his own voters, John Cornyn continued to push this piece of legislation. 14 Republicans voted yes on gun confiscation legislation yesterday. Roy Blunt from Missouri, Richard Burr from North Carolina, Shelley Moore Capito from West Virginia, Bill Cassidy, of course, Bill Cassidy from Louisiana, Susan Collins from Maine, John Cornyn from Texas, Joni Ernst from Iowa, Lindsey Graham from South Carolina, Mitch McConnell from Kentucky, Lisa Murkowski from Alaska, Rob Portman from Ohio, Mitt Romney from Utah, Tom Tillis from North Carolina, and Todd Young from Indiana. It makes you wonder, what exactly is the calculus of these Republican voters? I mean, these Republican politicians and what they're doing. And you don't have to overthink it. They hate you. They don't care about you. They care about their lobbyists. They care about their campaign contributors. They care about the Washington Post. They care about the New York Times. This is what they care about. This is their constituency. Roy Blunt, Richard Burr, Shelley Moore Capito, Bill Cassidy, Susan Collins, John Cornyn, Joni Ernst, Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell, Lisa Murkowski, Rob Portman, Mitt Romney, Tom Tillis, and Todd Young. They don't care about what their voters say. They don't care what you say. They actually have contempt for you. So it's even worse than that. It's that deep down, they don't think much of you at all. They can survive an election or survive a primary, go on cable news, talk a good game every once in a while on some broad conservative consensus issues they believe they can sneak by. But when it actually matters, when there's a piece of legislation that is up, a red flag law piece of legislation, that, by the way, will result in guns being confiscated from vets, from people that have been accused wrongly of having a significant mental health issue? How about people that get labeled wrongly as domestic terrorists, as the Department of Justice has labeled moms and dads that show up to school board meetings domestic terrorists? But this is their constituency. This is who they care about. They care about the New York Times. If they were to think deeply about what they are actually doing, let's take one voter in particular, Lisa Murkowski. If Lisa Murkowski was serious about serving the needs, wants, and interests of her constituents, she'd be wondering, why is it that so many Alaskans are committing suicide? She wouldn't be trying to take people's guns away. She'd be actually trying to solve a serious mental health problem. Do you think gun control is popular in Iowa? How about Louisiana, Bill Cassidy? Or West Virginia, Shelley Moore Capito? Or North Carolina for both senators from North Carolina, Tom Tillis and Richard Burr? Why is it that Republicans are always the one that are capitulating and surrendering to the left? When's the last time Democrats surrendered to us? When's the last time Democrats said, you know what? You know, we do need a wall. You're right. We'll give you some money for a wall. They don't give an inch because they know that you cannot have a political movement that continually capitulates to the other side. They have the power and we're always giving it to them. What's amazing, though, is the people are with us. But these senators certainly don't feel that way. They feel insulated. They feel safe in their ivory tower. Their smugness, their arrogance, the lack of accountability. And so what we're going to do this entire hour is we're going to talk about what drives a member of the Republican ruling class to have such bitterness towards you. Why is it that John Cornyn, who represents one of the most pro-2A states, Texas, wants to then go poke the eyes of his own voters? What drives someone to do that? What keeps our system intact? Our system is intact largely because of the consent of the governed. Permission. If you ignore your voters, in fact, if you defy your voters openly, the entire system will crumble. You cannot have a system where people go and they fill out their ballots and they go to the voting booth and they say, I want this person to do a certain thing, and that person does the exact opposite. It doesn't take an hour worth of analysis for us to say, why would that not possibly work? The idea of representation, a reflection of one's values, is a bedrock principle that the Founding Fathers put in the greatest political document ever written, the United States Constitution. In fact, the Declaration, which we on this program believe is actually a perfect key, it is a perfect fit within the United States Constitution, and Dr. Larry Arnn from Hillsdale College wrote a phenomenal book called The Founder's Key that beautifully articulates this, is that it actually talks in the Declaration of Independence, it speaks brilliantly about how King George was not properly representing them, and that they have a moral right to have the consent of the governed when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands that have tied them to the other, deriving among the separate but equal stations the powers of the earth, and it goes on to say that deriving from the laws of nature and nature's God. In the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, written by Thomas Jefferson and signed by 56 brave patriots, it talks about consent, that King George was not doing this, he was abusing them, but even more than the abuse was that he never even dared to ask for permission. What do you guys want? What's the direction you want to take things? This was an inspiration for our birthday, an inspiration for July 4th. And so any system that intentionally, and in fact smugly and arrogantly, defies the constituents that have given them political power, by definition, will crumble. You want to know why the conservative base has such disgust for Washington, D.C., myself included? It's because of theatrics like what we saw last night. They go and talk a good game on cable news. Yeah, we're going to go fight socialism. We're going to go fight critical race theory. Really, when's the last time you did anything to fight critical race theory at West Point? You know anything about that? Or we're going to try to stop the invasion of the southern border. Are you going to do another press release about it? Are you going to write another letter? Or are you actually going to do something actively about stopping the invasion of our country? I get it. It's Joe Biden's fault. But you know what? It's our fault, too, if we don't secure our own borders. Take responsibility for your actions. Take responsibility for your state. Stop going on TV and talking about it. So the system that we enjoy, boy, is it fragile right now. It's on the precipice of shattering. Why? We'll just ask Roy Blunt, Richard Moore, Shelley Moore Capito, Bill Cassidy, Susan Collins, John Cornyn, Joni Ernst, Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell, Lisa Murkowski, Rob Portman, Mitt Romney, Tom Tillis, and Todd Young. The 14 Republicans. All the while, by the way, violent crime is going up. We might be on the verge of a summer of riots. We don't know. Hopefully not. I pray not. And we're seeing mass unease. We might be on the verge of food shortages and fuel shortages, and this is when Republicans decide it's a good idea to try to be able to take people's guns away. This is the bill right here. We actually have the bill. We've read the bill. We're going to tell you what's in it. But before we go into the details of it, I want to still talk on a broader picture. What is it about a Republican that makes them so willing to capitulate and to surrender to the Democrats? We call this the gravitational pull of the left. There seems to be this anchoring that is always pulling Republicans to appease the left. And I'll be very honest. When I first started Turning Point USA and when I grew it, at times, I felt that temptation. You kind of feel good about yourself. Yeah, I can build consensus. I can come to the middle and we can work together. There is a kind of a stimulus of self-righteousness that kicks in. I certainly felt that in certain years. Yeah, we can build bridges with people who disagree with us. It's fine. It's incredibly idealistic if you're dealing on a person-to-person basis, but it's foolish, wrong, and dangerous when you're dealing with an entire political movement, especially the Democrat Party that you have in Washington, D.C. What drives it is this willingness to go serve a different constituency. Here I have the New York Times. Roy Blunt, Richard Moore, Shelley Moore Capito, McConnell, and others, they actually care more about what I have in my hand, the New York Times, than what their own voters say. And what's so incredible about this entire drama of gun control, the drama of gun confiscation, the story and the saga of being able to take people's weapons away through false accusations and miscategorizations of government. What's so interesting about the whole thing is how John Cornyn doubled and tripled down after being rebuked by his voters. We played this tape yesterday, but I want to play it again. It's a tape of John Cornyn speaking at the Texas Republican Convention and being booed at the Texas Republican Convention. Play cut 51. It is simply and purely shocking. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about his voters. Any decent person that gets booed by their voters, any decent person that all of a sudden gets rebuked by the very people that gave them political power would stop and say, maybe I'm heading in the wrong direction. And they'd back off. Instead, John Cornyn gets in front of the entire Texas Republican Convention and gets booed. And then he goes back to D.C. and says, I'm going to show those people. I'm going to show the deplorables. I'm in charge, not you. I'm the senator, not you. I'm in charge. I have never, in my 10 years of doing this, seen such an intentional, brazen, and defiant mode of action as what I have just seen from John Cornyn. I'm not saying it's the worst bill I've ever seen. That's not true. I'm not saying that it's the worst vote I've ever seen. That's not the point. The point I'm making is I have never seen in my 10 years of doing this someone so openly rebuked by their voters and then so quickly turning 180 degrees around and saying, I don't care. I've never seen it. Usually, when you show up to a town hall and you confront them, they say, okay, I'm done. I'm going to change my vote. Cornyn doesn't like you. And he jokes about it, actually. Cornyn hates you. He knows he'll still get money from his corporate donors. He knows that. Instead of being allied with his voters and be like, maybe there's something I could learn here. He pokes him in the eye. and says, no, 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 no. I'm the senator. You're the serf. You're not a citizen. I'm in charge. For a couple years now, people have been setting up a contest between crypto and gold, but that's like comparing a truck with an SUV. Both carry stuff and travel from A to B, but they do different jobs. Gold's job is to keep the value of your money safe and preserve its value. And since Ukraine, the oil, and the inflation crisis, it's done a brilliant job compared to stocks and other investments. So if you're worried about what's going on right now, who isn't? Just talk to an expert at Noble Gold about precious metal IRAs for your retirement. They'll put you straight on your options and hold your hand through the whole setup process. And this month, for any qualified IRA, you'll get an incredible 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin completely free as a thank you. So call 877-646-5347 now to find out more or visit noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com. The whole system is built on the people being sovereign. It's a big deal. I had an amazing conversation with Bill Federer yesterday, who's a history expert, and the podcast will drop. It will be phenomenal. It's one of the great podcasts I've done ever, and especially in recent memory. And I asked him, I said, does America stand atop history as an exception? He said, without a doubt. I said, why? He said, for many reasons, one of them being the respect of individual rights, that all of us are made in the image of God and that the people are the sovereign and that the people in charge, senators, congressmen, governors, mayors, county clerks, they're there because of the permission of their voters. The voters have the power. The people are sovereign. That's a big deal. Now, with sovereignty of the individual comes rights of the individual. The right to speech, the right to defend yourself, the Second Amendment, the right not to have soldiers in your home, the right to privacy, the right against self-incrimination, the right to a speedy trial, the right to representation, the right to a jury of your peers, and then all other rights that are not specified to the states or to the people. The Ninth Amendment, called the Forgotten Amendment, or the Mysterious Amendment. I can't remember what Bork said. Basically, if the rights are not in the Constitution, it doesn't mean that the rights don't exist. I could do a whole show on the Ninth Amendment. But I just basically just went through the Bill of Rights. First, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. 1, 2, 3 deals with speech, guns, soldiers. Fourth, privacy. Fifth, against self-incrimination. 6, 7, 8 around jury, speedy trial. And then 9 and 10 about rights that are not defined in the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights was inspired in the Virginia Declaration, by the Virginia Declaration of Rights that was passed by George Mason. And then the Bill of Rights was actually passed in 1791. The Constitution was passed in 1787. So we kind of conflate the original constitutional principles of the Bill of Rights, but the Bill of Rights was actually something that some of the founders didn't want to put forward, Thomas Jefferson in particular. The whole system is built on the idea that the people are the sovereign, that you're in charge, that the senators serve at the will of you. And boy, have we messed this up. Now, I have said this before, and I don't think it gets taken seriously enough. But I believe that one of the reasons why Roy Blunt, Richard Burr, Shelley Moore Capito, that's where I said Moore, Bill Cassidy, Susan Collins, John Cornyn, Joni Ernst, Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell, Lisa Murkowski, Rob Portman, Mitt Romney, Tom Tillis, and Todd Young, why they could be so smug, New York Times, latte-sipping Republicans, ruling class people, why are they able to get away with it? The 17th Amendment. The 17th Amendment is one of the, in my personal opinion, most disastrous pieces of constitutional amending done in history. The 17th Amendment essentially says that through the popular election of senators, through this, the entire state will vote on senators. Now, that sounds like consent to the governed, doesn't it? I mean, come on, Charlie just went on ranting about how the people are sovereign. It's actually the opposite, because it gets rid of a recall mechanism. And it doesn't allow the hyperlocal to be able to control the national. So the way that senators used to be put into office was that the state legislatures would then appoint the senators and send them to D.C. For example, Texans right now have no way to recall John Cornyn because of the 17th Amendment. The 17th Amendment at its core was that the state legislatures will be able to hold the senators responsible, and the legislatures would actually have a higher place on the hierarchy. They would be sovereign over the senator. The senator would then report back to the state legislatures. If we still had a 17th Amendment, Republicans would have probably 61 seats right now in Washington, D.C., because we control about 31 state legislatures and 30 governor's mansions. And John Cornyn playing these games right now, the Texas legislature would be able to convene a special session about possibly replacing and removing John Cornyn. In addition, the 17th Amendment turned senators into national icons. They were never supposed to be these hyper-populist national figures. People like Elizabeth Warren or Cory Booker that are constantly running for president. Senators were supposed to be deliberate, prudent, almost in the shadows, statesmen. The 17th Amendment changed all of it, largely because of the movement of William Jennings Bryan. We can talk about him at a later date. Not all populism is bad. We support populism on this program. But certain populist measures in the early 1900s, I believe, did significant damage to you actually being in charge. I believe they were actually anti-populist. I'm sure a lot of you are wondering how you can learn about things that are good, true, and beautiful. Well, I've talked about Hillsdale College for a while. But look, there's a video I want you to see. It's the trailer to Hillsdale College's newest free online course, C.S. Lewis on Christianity. We talk a lot about current events on the show, but some things are more important than today's news. And C.S. Lewis was a master at addressing life's most important questions through vivid language that's entertaining and fascinating. You may know Lewis as the author of The Chronicles of Narnia, but he's also considered the greatest Christian apologist of the 20th century. As a radio host, I appreciate Lewis's ability to communicate and inspire. In fact, not a lot of people don't know this, but Mere Christianity, his book, began as a series of radio messages. Hillsdale's free online course covers C.S. Lewis's profound insights into good and evil, prayer and the Bible, and even heaven and hell. And did I mention his course is entirely free? So go watch the trailer video of C.S. Lewis on Christianity and sign up for this new free online course at charlieforhillsdale.com. That's charlieforhillsdale.com. Look, charlieforhillsdale.com, you guys should go there at least once a week. You guys can get online courses, sign up for Imprimis, learn about Aristotle, learn about the Constitution, learn about the Declaration, learn about the Federalist Papers. It's charlieforhillsdale.com. Again, Charlie, F-O-R, Hillsdale.com. All I have to say, and this is a total detour, I didn't expect saying this, is that how blessed are we as Americans that Ron DeSantis won the 2018 gubernatorial race? Andrew Gillum has just been indicted on wire fraud charges. Andrew Gillum, within a 21-point charge indictment, who nearly won the 2018 race for Florida governor, was charged on charges of conspiracy, wire fraud, and making false statements. He was accused of false and fraudulent promises, as well as money related that they received from 2016 to 2019. The money was diverted to a company owned by Lettman Hicks and then funneled to Gillum for personal use. And it says here that in a statement released before the government, Gillum declared his innocence and suggested the case against him was political. He says the government got it wrong today. The allegations cover a time when Gillum was a candidate for governor. He eventually became the party's nominee in 2018. But then lost to Ron DeSantis in less than 33,000 votes. Makes you wonder that, did they stumble upon this law enforcement when they found him passed out, nearly dead, in a hotel room? Just makes you wonder if they stumbled upon this when they seized his electronics when he was popping pills and nearly overdosed in a hotel room. DeSantis only won in 2018 by 32,000 votes. So thank goodness Ron DeSantis won that election. Jeez, how close that would have been. I mean, how terrible that would have been. Okay, I want to go back to this story here about gun control. Let's go to Cut 64. Tucker Carlson going through in great detail why red flag laws are illegal and unconstitutional because it ends due process. Play cut 64.
And in fact, we may soon get red flag laws across the country. So what would that mean if we do? Well, two things you should know. First, red flag laws will not end mass shootings, but red flag laws will end due process. Due process is a simple concept, but it's the key to everything that is good about America. In our system of justice, citizens cannot be punished without first being charged with a crime. Politicians cannot just decide to hurt you, throw you in handcuffs, lock you in jail, seize your property, simply because they don't like how you think or how you vote. No. Before they punish you, they have to go through a formal process in which they describe which specific law you broke and exactly how you broke it. They have to prove it.
Now, this is largely thanks to the Fifth Amendment. The Fifth Amendment is an unbelievable gift, a blessing of liberty. In fact, when the Constitution was ratified, the founding fathers said they believed the finger of God was on the Constitution. They didn't say that it had the same sort of divine revelation as the scriptures. That's not something that was said. But they did say that the finger of God was upon them, they believed, or upon the writing of the U.S. Constitution. The Fifth Amendment says the federal government cannot deprive anyone of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. The 14th Amendment, which was ratified in 1868, continued by using the same 11 words called the Due Process Clause. And so it's repeated. This is an important and necessary protection. Remember, the United States Constitution does not give you rights. John Cornyn does not give you rights. The United States Constitution protects rights that are given to you by God. We believe by God. You might think it's nature. Whatever you believe it is, I believe it's an almighty God. And you have that at birth. So your natural state, and we got a lot of this philosophical basis, this foundation from John Locke in particular, that who are you in the state of nature? In the state of nature, you have consciousness. You have autonomy, you have sovereignty, you have agency, you have choice. And so we call this a self-evident truth. I wonder if we ever heard that before. We hold these truths to be self-evident. John Locke being a primary inspirer. In fact, John Locke had the phrase life, liberty, and property. Thomas Jefferson liked that, and originally it was property, and we changed it to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Kind of glad they changed it to happiness. The ancient view of what happiness was is a lot different than our view of happiness today. Happiness being the highest form of good, according to Aristotle. But as Tucker Carlson beautifully puts it, you cannot be free if the government can take your stuff or your freedoms away without a process to doing so. Now, look, let's just be very clear. We believe that some people, of course, should have their stuff and their liberties taken away from them. Child rapists, murderers, people that burn down buildings. You have violated the social contract, and therefore the state, while going through the same process, you get a lawyer, you get an opportunity to defend yourself, you get an opportunity to submit evidence, you get an ability to cross-examine witnesses. Did you burn down the Wendy's or did you not burn down the Wendy's? Where were you? What's your alibi? There's a process to go through all this, and sometimes, yes, the government gets these things wrong. Yes, sometimes the government has malicious prosecution like they did against Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. But let me be very clear. The prosecutions of Flynn and Manafort and all these people would have been far worse if there was not due process, if there wasn't the ability to have a lawyer present or an attorney to be able to cross-examine the state. So the whole premise of our government is built on you being sovereign and the government being a creation of your sovereignty and of your permission. So when it comes to red flag laws, the question is, does a red flag law violate due process rights? Well, the Washington Post said a couple weeks ago, no, red flag gun laws don't violate due process rights. Such laws, also known as extreme risk protection orders, are popular and are embraced by some Republican politicians. But some gun rights activists say they violate the Fifth and 14th Amendment. So I've actually not read this article prior to going through it. So we're going to go through it in real time and kind of see how I process information. But let me just first pick out one thing here. extreme risk protection orders. Now, that sounds rare, doesn't it? How many times in the last couple of years coming out of COVID did you hear this idea of, well, we're only going to use our power rarely and we're not going, it's an extreme, it's an emergency. Anytime the government wants power, when they say that it will not last long and it won't go after a big group of people, do not give them that power. You know, growing up, I used to be very pro-Patriot Act. I've said this many times on this program. I used to tell my, you know, let me think when the Patriot Act passed. Patriot Act probably passed in 2003, 2004. I think it was like robustly passed in 05, 06, whatever. We'll find the date. It was after 9/11. It was right in that kind of period of time. And I remember being in seventh grade defending the Patriot Act. Again, it was kind of an inarticulate. Was it really 2001 it passed? Wow. Okay. I think it got renewed later. Anyway, the point is that I remember being in sixth or seventh grade talking about how we need the Patriot Act because terrorists are bad. And a liberal at the time, and I remember who it was. He's far from a liberal now. He's a leftist, communist, dictator, autocrat type. But anyway, he said to me, he said, how do you define a terrorist? And I had some sort of clumsy response. I didn't think very deeply about it back in sixth grade. Yeah, okay, it got renewed in 2005. Thank you, got it. And so basically I said, what's this kind of, you just kind of know what a terrorist is. It's self-evident. And is it? If there's anything we've learned over the last year, it's that the government will use a broad definition basis and label as many people as they possibly can with a moving target, and then they'll be able to have that as the necessary prerequisite to then take your rights away. Okay, so the Washington Post writes, this is Jake Charles, red flag laws, which allow guns to be temporarily taken away from people who pose a risk of harm to themselves or others, are one of the few gun control regulations that have bipartisan support. Roy Blunt, quote, I'm generally inclined to think that some kind of red flag law is a good idea. Key senators have told reporters that an agreement could be reached soon on legislation that would include incentives to have states pass more laws. Now, so one of the arguments they make is like, oh, it's an incentive, you don't have to do that. The last time we have seen, I shouldn't say the last time, one of the most popular and effective incentive structures we've ever seen is why the drinking age in every single state in America is 21. So senators realized, I think this is back in the 80s, I think they changed this, is that drinking ages used to be 18, if that. And so the federal government realized and recognized that if they came in and said that we're going to raise the drinking age to 21, it might not be constitutional and it might go back down to the states. So they found a back door. They said, you are not going to get federal highway funds unless you have the drinking age to 21, 1984. That's exactly right. They passed the Minimum Drinking Age Act. But what happened in 1986, after all of this fight, they said, okay, you're going to lose 10% of your federal highway funds if you don't raise the drinking age to 21. And this is exactly what they're trying to do to red flag laws. They're going to say, okay, you don't get all this money unless you have red flag laws. Basically, depriving states that actually protect the Second Amendment of federal funding if you do not follow this in a certain way. Okay. So the Washington Post writes here, there is strong popular support for red flag laws, also known as extreme risk laws, in both parties. More than a dozen states have adopted them. I actually do agree with this. I think there is strong support because they sound reasonable when in fact they're not. Social science research suggests they work most strikingly in preventing gun suicides. Okay, social science research. I'm sorry, Washington Post. You're going to have to be a little bit more specific than just saying social science research. I've heard to quote unquote trust the science a lot. And one of the reasons why I don't follow the science is that the science usually follows the money. Of course, I follow science, but not the science, because that's the scientific industrial complex. Anyway, their study might be right, but I'm a skeptic. The article continues here. I want to read this one piece. We should not once again make the mistake of blaming the Constitution for inaction on gun laws. The structure of extreme risk laws is entirely consistent with not only the Second Amendment, but also the Constitution guarantee of due process. So I want anyone listening right now that might support red flag laws to answer the following questions. Have you ever gotten in a work dispute? Do you have a neighbor who doesn't like you? Do you have a family member that won't talk to you? Do you have a social media troll that calls you bad names? Have you ever gone in for mental health examination? Do you take antidepressants? Do you have Trump signs in your front yard or front lawn? Any one of those things could potentially be used in a quote-unquote flag by someone who doesn't like you to deprive you of your Second Amendment rights. Now, if you think I'm exaggerating, look into the details of it. Look into actually how these laws are written. They're written to be able to have the accuser have more rights than the accused. And that is a violation of the Fifth and Fourth Amendment and the moral prerogative that you have to be able to own weapons and defend yourself against other criminals and against potential tyranny. These laws are too subjective in nature. Look, free speech, religious liberty, and the Second Amendment. Our rights are being destroyed across the board. And look, many months ago, I told our team, I am sick of paying all this money to these cell phone providers that hate me and hate our values. So I said, go find that really cheerful guy. I think his name was Glenn at one of our events, and he kept on wearing the Patriot Mobile shirt. Found him, sat down in Dallas. We had a great meeting. And I vetted Patriot Mobile head to toe, their business model, how they do things. And I was convinced that we must partner with them. They're not only America's only Christian conservative cell phone provider, they're one of the few companies fighting back. They offer the same nationwide coverage as the major carrier. So you get the same great service plus the peace of mind, and your money is combating the left's attempt to silence you. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget, and their 100% U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional customer service. Patriot Mobile shares your values, and they support organizations fighting for religious liberty, constitutional rights, sanctity of life, like Turning Point USA, and veteran and first responder heroes. So here's how it works. If you have a big major carrier, you are funding the bad guys. That money might as well be a check, Democrat National Committee. Or you could have it go to Patriot Mobile, where they give their proceeds back to Turning Point USA, veterans, and amazing groups. It's a no-brainer. So go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation with the offer code CHARLIE. Veterans and first responders save even more, so make the switch today. Between the left, the media, and all these rhinos, we need to stick together. Patriot Mobile helps you do that. It's a way to engage in the corporate warfare that's happening. So do me a favor, check it out. PatriotMobile.com/Charlie. We've switched everything over, and we love Patriot Mobile. Producer Andrew is a massive fan. PatriotMobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. Don't give your money to BLM or the Alphabet Mafia or whatever when you are doing the regular thing. Instead, make the switch, PatriotMobile.com/Charlie. Let's go to another piece of sound here. Jim Jordan cut 61 on how red flag laws will be voted on and how they'll enact the power of the government to take your guns away in a hearing that you're not allowed to be at. No due process. Play cut 61.
Tomorrow they're bringing the red flag law, so-called red flag law, to the floor. Someone who doesn't like you can file a complaint within 24 hours. There is a hearing that you're not allowed to be at. You can't confront your accuser, and they can take away your Second Amendment liberty.
God-granted right to self-protection. While violent crime is going up, we might be seeing food and fuel shortages, and we might be on the precipice of violent riots. They want the ability to be able to disarm you instantaneously. Someone that doesn't like me, yeah, if red flag laws ever come to Arizona, I'm going to have these hearings are going to be happening all the time. And they might just come and take your guns away without even knowing about it. Okay, let's go to cut 57. Tucker Carlson with the immediate reaction to John Cornyn and Mitch McConnell last evening. Play cut 57.
The Senate is voting to advance a so-called gun control bill that is, in fact, a law that would allow police to confiscate firearms unconstitutionally, illegally, from American citizens who have not been charged, much less convicted of a crime. Now, many Republican senators, such as Joni Ernst and Shelley Moore Caputo, are reportedly voting yes on the bill. It's hard to believe that's true, but apparently it is. Senator John Cornyn, the lead Republican negotiator who has gone far left in recent years, is currently celebrating on the Senate floor because, again, only Ukrainians are allowed to have guns. Cornyn was just seen shaking hands with Chuck Schumer, his close friend. Is he representing the voters of Texas? No. But apparently John Cornyn isn't just stopping with guns. He has his sights now on immigration. Cornyn was just seen smiling while speaking to Democratic Senator Alex Padilla, saying, quote, first guns, now it's immigration. Has there ever been a greater, more brazen sellout of any group of voters than what Republican senators Mitch McConnell, John Cornyn, and the rest are doing right now? Talk about a subversion of democracy. If they keep this up, the system will collapse. You have to represent the interests of your voters. That's why you're there.
They don't care about their voters, and they never have. Are you seeing a psychologist for anxiety? Red flag. A neighbor doesn't like you? Red flag. Get in a fight with a neighbor? Red flag. Ex-girlfriend accuses you of domestic violence even though there's no evidence to support the claim? Red flag. Get in a fight with someone on social media, say something charged? Red flag. Your Republicans are giving power to the government to take away your weapons without you even being there, while violent crime is going up. Just for recap, Roy Blunt, Richard Moore, Shelley Moore Capito, Bill Cassidy, Susan Collins, John Cornyn, Joni Ernst, Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell, Lisa Murkowski, Rob Portman, Mitt Romney, Tom Tillis, Todd Young. Now, I don't think it's going to make a difference, but it certainly is cathartic. Please just go contact them if you're a constituent in one of these states. Send them an email. Be respectful. Be polite. But be direct and be focused and tell them that they have betrayed their voters. If you live in Missouri, North Carolina, West Virginia, Louisiana, Maine, Texas, Iowa, South Carolina, Kentucky, Alaska, Ohio, Utah, or Indiana, contact your senators and say, what are you doing? We're at the verge of losing our republic. We might see food and fuel shortages at any moment. And you're going out of your way to go give the Democrats a win? As Greta Thunberg would say, how dare you? Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts. As always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.